This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
So, Neil, we've got Adam Carr coming on next.
Yes.
Adam is a student of elections and election results. If there's something that Adam doesn't know, well, then nobody knows it. He's in some respects, he's the Anthony Green of the LGBTI community.
Yep.
Although Anthony could probably claim that space too, couldn't he?
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I don't know all the details around that. So I'm very interested in learning from him what the future of the minor parties is, given that none of them have performed very well in the most recent three elections, significant elections.
And whether that's just any kind of change process, the pendulum swings until it finds its kind of balance and its medium ground. So, yeah, where there's significant tension.
It's an interesting space in politics at the moment. We've got the Turnbull government hell-bent on delivering its $65 billion business tax cuts, did a great deal with Pauline Hanson, so she's getting $60 million in return for a $65 billion favour. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, gosh. I just think the whole tax cut thing, I mean, I feel like we talk about this every single year. With anyone who's in power, we're always talking about tax cuts for businesses or for high-income earners and that sort of thing. At the end of the day, I mean, we know that they don't trickle down. I mean, it's the same all across the world, isn't it? We get told that we make
there's no evidence tax that they actually
cuts
work.
And all of a sudden businesses are going to put on more people.
There's no evidence that they work.
No.
I've scoured this very topic globally and I can't see any evidence. There's theory that it works.
Absolutely.
But there's no evidence that it works.
But it's quite a communist theory in nature. Do you know what I mean?
And if you want to build, if you want to create jobs, if you want to build the economy, you've got to give people money to spend.
That's correct. Not give them an incentive. It's the same as the energy industry and the whole concept around renewables. They're not going to pass the, and when the carbon tax was going to, well, when it was taken away, it didn't save anyone. There's no discounts applied to you on the electricity bills. It was never going to happen. It doesn't happen.
Now, if you've just tuned in and you'll notice that there's a different voice this morning along with mine, it's Tennille's voice.
I need to speak slower and deeper.
Mac is taking a break. We've just had a lovely message from 317. So delightful to hear from you. 317 says, the upper classes are laughing all the way to their banks and trust funds. Tess, good morning. Good morning to you. We've now got Adam Carr on the phone. Adam Carr is our very own psephologist. I didn't realise that there was an Adam Carr writer for the Australian newspaper.
There is.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Did you know there was an Adam Carr who writes for the Australian?
I knew there was one who wrote for the Financial Review. Maybe it's the same one. A finance writer?
Yes.
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 Yeah, I presume it's the same one. I get emails for him occasionally.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Do you respond?
I just said, sorry, wrong one.
Oh.
Adam, we've had three significant elections in the last couple of weeks. The Batman by-election here in Victoria, the South Australian and the Tasmanian state elections. The outcomes of all three were billed to be controlled or at least partnered by the minor parties, whether it be the Greens or Xenophon or some of the other Conservatives. What happened? They didn't even get a Guernsey. What happened?
No, the big parties are back. All the hype about the decline of the major parties and the rise of the crossbench, I still think it's a real thing, but they all had a setback in the three elections you've mentioned, yes.
So why? What happened?
Well, I think the different circumstances in different places. In Tasmania, the voters don't particularly like coalition governments and they tend to vote for whichever party they think has the better chance of forming majority government, which in this case was the incumbent Liberal government. So Will Hodgman got re-elected, lost a couple of seats. Labor recovered quite well from their heavy defeat the last election, but most of that came off the Greens, and the Greens lost one of their three seats and are in the worst result the Greens have had for quite a long time in Tasmania.
Well,
in South Australia, you had a long-time incumbent Labor government, which had basically run out of steam, and the Liberals were able to win, and both Xenophon and the Greens did badly. And, of course, in Batman, which everyone thought the Greens were going to win, they didn't. I think mainly local reasons. I think that Labor clearly had a superior candidate. The Greens, for mysterious reasons, decided to sabotage their own campaign. And
that was very odd.
They paid the price, yes.
Very, very odd. So do you think that the Xenophon team is now gone?
Well, they've certainly had a big setback. I mean, because the Xenophon brand is entirely built around Nick Xenophon personally. I don't think anyone could tell you what Xenophon stands for, apart from his hostility to gambling and poker machines. Mm. Apart from that, his policies are all over the place. He tends to pick up the voters who don't want to vote for the major parties, and he's a safe alternative. But he failed to win. He came third in the seat he personally ran in and didn't win any other seats. They got two seats in the upper house and they still have two senators. But the brand does seem to be broken. And since it's all built around Xenophon personally, they may now fade away.
Hmm. So do you think it's the end of minor parties sort of having a controlling force in Australian politics?
Well, no, because the long-term trend, which you can see all over the world, not just in Australia, is that the traditional class-based parties, the system where you have, you know, one party broadly representing the middle class and conservative politics and another party broadly representing the working class and social democratic or socialist politics, that model is breaking down everywhere. Mm. And you're seeing circumstances vary from country to country, but everywhere you're seeing the rise of parties on the left, as in Greece, or on the right, as in Germany, or in Britain, and I don't think that trend's going to go away. But obviously, it's uneven. Sometimes they advance, sometimes they retreat. Depends on the performance of the major parties. Depends on the circumstances.
Hmm. Interestingly enough, though, in both South Australia and Tasmania, they've only just got over the line in terms of forming a government. It's not like they have thumping majorities. They literally only just scraped over the line.
Yeah, that's you always get that in Tasmania because the electoral system, they have their own peculiar, the Hare-Clark system. It's very difficult to win a big majority in Tasmania. The only Jim Bacon managed to do it once when at the height of his popularity. But getting back with 14 or 15 seats is a pretty good result in Tasmania. And for an incumbent government to get a second term, it's very unusual. The last time the Liberals won two successive elections in Tasmania was about 30 years ago. So Hodgman did quite well to retain his majority. And I think, as I said before, that's mainly because Tasmanian voters don't want to have a coalition government. The last one didn't end very well. And so when it looked as though the Liberals were more likely to be able to form majority, they picked up support. South Australia is also peculiar. I mean, the Liberals should have won the last two elections in terms of the two-party vote, but they couldn't translate that vote into seats. This time there was a redistribution which gave them four extra seats at Labor's expense. And that's principally the reason why there was a change of government. Not many seats actually changed hands on the night. It was mainly the effects of the redistribution, which produced the result that they should have got last time when they polled 53% of the two-party vote but didn't win. So given that the Liberals historically have a very bad record in South Australia, the Liberals have never won two elections in a row in South Australia since.
Adam, going back to your idea about coalitions, generally we Australians don't like coalitions. I mean, if you think about the way in which Australia treated the Gillard coalition, it was pretty poorly. And then if you look even more closely, you know, it was probably a successful example that I can think of here in Victoria, which was the BRACS coalition with the three independents in the early 2000s, or 1999, actually. So that was a very successful coalition, but it was pretty much a Labor government, to be honest, whereas the Gillard government, on the other hand, was actually a coalition cobbled together with the support of the Greens and a number of independents. And we didn't like it. As a nation, we didn't like it. We gave them a hard time.
Well, I think there were a lot of reasons why people didn't like the Gillard and Rudd governments. It wasn't just that. But I agree. The voters don't particularly like minority governments. That wasn't, strictly speaking, a coalition. I mean, there were no Greens ministers or independent ministers. In Tasmania, they had a formal Labor-Greens coalition with Greens ministers. And that was the government that got very heavily defeated 4 years ago.
Well, think about our current federal coalition government. I mean, that's...
Yes.
You know,
that's a little different because that's a long-standing arrangement between those two parties. And I think everybody understands that. The Nationals have been a sort of an appendage of the Liberals, not that they see themselves that way, since the 1920s. And I think that's a long-standing arrangement. People don't really think that it's a coalition in the sense it would be if Labor were to form a coalition with the Greens, for example, which would have to be negotiated and which there would be constant tensions between the two parties because they're competing for the same voters. I think that's certainly a factor in Tasmania. And it may well be a factor elsewhere as well.
So, Adam, I recently was actually over in Hobart just before the elections, and I actually found it really interesting to look at the issues that were kind of, I guess, really important to Tasmanians. How much do you think those issues play a part at the state-level elections?
Oh, they certainly do. One of the reasons the Greens lost ground is that the environmental issues that they built their support base on 30 years ago or so, the issues like the forests and the pulp mills, have sort of faded from the front of public debate. I mean, this was a much more traditional election about health and education and the standard sort of issues that state elections are fought around.
Yeah.
And also the Greens have changed themselves to some extent since Bob Brown was their leader. They've become a more orthodox left-wing party rather than an environmentalist party. Mm. And as we saw in Batman, voters in Northcote and Clifton Hill, who tend to be more affluent and who vote for Greens for essentially ideological reasons, whereas voters in the more working class part of the seat.
Did you say affluent?
Are much less likely to support the Greens. Sorry.
Did you say affluent?
No, I said affluent. Now, Tasmania is a fairly low income state, apart from sort of central Hobart, and that's why the Greens support has declined so strongly. In everywhere in Tasmania except in central Hobart, because they're reverting to a more normal pattern. Affluent city voters will tend to support the Greens, but people in regional Tasmania who were once willing to vote for the Greens around issues like the pulp mill are no longer do so, because partly because other issues have come to the fore, but partly also because I think the public image of the Greens has changed.
The other big issue there also is around the pokies and the removal of those from clubs and that sort of thing. And that, from my experience down there, was people working in pubs were wearing T-shirts, save my job. And we worked out, obviously, that was, full of crap.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
That issue played well for Labor and the Greens in Hobart. It didn't play at all well for either Labor or the Greens in the rest of the state.
Interesting.
And this is the dilemma that progressive politics has. You adopt issues such as that, which are of concern to educated, affluent people, but on the other hand, other people see that as taking their jobs away or threatening their livelihood. And it's the same with an issue like guns. In the US, you can see how that plays out in class terms. And we have the same dilemma here. The dilemma that both Labor and the Greens, the Greens even more acutely, face that problem.
Yep. Adam, we're almost out of time, but I'm very interested in your opinion on what role you think the miners are going to play in the coming Victorian and federal elections.
Well, in Victoria, the Andrews government has only a fairly small majority. The Greens now have 3 seats. Before the Batman by-election, I would have thought they were pretty much favoured to win another couple. Brunswick and Richmond would be their frontline targets. But after Batman, I'm not so sure. Labor's obviously now much more optimistic about hanging on to inner city seats as having done it once. But it's quite possible that if Labor were to lose 2 or 3 seats, they could find themselves in a minority with the Greens holding the balance of power. That would be a very difficult situation. I don't think Labor wants to be in coalition with the Greens. I don't think Labor wants to govern in minority depending on the Greens. But as we've seen in Tasmania, when you have a hung parliament, someone has to form a government. So there has to be some agreement between the parties on how that's going to happen.
Don't you think it's about time Labor sort of actually made up with the Greens?
Well, that would require an agreement as to who gets to contest what. The problem with our electoral system is that the Greens mainly have to take votes and seats away from Labor, because that's where their area of strength is. Now, Labor's not just going to agree to give up seats that Labor have held for 100 years, like Richmond. You may be right in the long run, but the level of hostility, as we saw on the ground, I don't know if you were there on the day, the level of hostility between Labor and Greens in inner city areas on the ground is very, very sharp, and I think there would be a lot of resistance in both parties to doing that.
Adam, it's always great to chat with you. We really enjoy your insights into you know, what's occurring electorally in our community. We'd love to have you in the studio one day for a much longer and more considered conversation, if you're up for that.
That would be a pleasure.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.